All right, niggas and niggets. Just kidding. What the hell? Let's get into it. So, just finished Dynamite. And I gotta tell you, it was an awesome show. You know, as for what I was saying that they needed to start doing. Because this is probably like the first time in a long time it don't even look like they really just, I'll say, threw things together for as matches go. But, you know, like I said before, it was an okay show for us, like, even after All Out and everything that we've gotten over the past couple of weeks with the surprise entrances and people coming in and all the other stuff going on. So, pretty much, you know, you started off the night with, I forgot what match it was at, they started off with some type of match, but no, please forgive me, like, the way they did the format for Dynamite was, like, easy to watch, just like SmackDown, pretty much, like, the format was just, okay, we got some matches, then you get some segments, because, like I said, we wanted to see what, you know, Daniel Bryan one had to say, and, you know, CM Punk, MJF. And, you know, in the middle of everything that's been going on tonight, my first thought was, where's Adam Page? Because, like I said before, ever since all these people started coming in, like I said, I just felt like I haven't seen a lot of Adam Page lately. You know, he was grooming to look like to get a world title match. He was in the middle of like a, you know, back and forth with Kenny Omega, and officially tonight, that looks like that is like non and void now. It looks like that's not even going to happen with like Adam Page for a long time, because now you can't go back on not giving us Kenny Omega versus Daniel Bryan, because that's like a dream match, you know. But it looks like AEW is like pretty much about to blow their load on a lot of this stuff. Like, yeah, you're bringing in all these guys, but what are you about to give us, like dream match after dream match after dream match? And they got all these shows that they're about to sell out next week. They're going to be at the Prudential Center. And then the week after that, they're going to be at the tennis stadium in Queens, New York. Nice size stadium. It fits over 23,000. But if you know, if it's a wrestling event, and let's say, you know, AEW want to just have a packed house, they can probably fit at least close to 30. So it's going to be one of the bigger crowds that we've had on a weekly episodic wrestling show in a while. Like I said, I did enjoy it tonight. I guess we're going to have CM Punk go the beefing with Taz and his goons way, which I'm kind of fine with, because like I said before, CM Punk probably, you know, he's there to help out the younger guys. And I know, you know, they're saying Daniel Bryan is there for that too. But like I said before, I have not, like, Adam Page was groomed to be the guy to probably get the title next. And now it just seems like the guy has just not been on TV. I wonder if he's hurt. I got to look up. I need to look into it. Wonder if he's hurt, because I'm a fan of the guy. MJF, pretty much, like, let's be honest, probably the best heel in the business. I've been saying this. One of my favorite guys on the mic, he went real, real straight up, let's go dickhead on people tonight. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he really can get heat. And I, like I said, you know me, I love the guy. But it got to a point where I was like, oh my God, somebody hit this motherfucker in the mouth. But that's what he does. That's how he's supposed to do this. And I love it. You know what I'm saying? Don't stop it. You know, because you know WWE couldn't do nothing with this guy. He could see what he want on the mic, and it's like legit on his end. It's like he just does not give a fuck. Good main event. Like I said, they built it up. It was supposed to be that, you know, hometown hero wins. It was a brutal fight. It was a fight. It didn't have to be tables and chairs. But, you know, I think AEW need to kind of tone the blood down just a little bit, because they got a lot of people, just they had people bleed like every damn week now. And it's like, Jesus, and like I said before, WWE don't really necessarily do blood unless it's like hard way, but you know, they can kind of tone the blood down. So that way, when, because AEW is going to give us blood matches any fucking way. So that way, when the blood matches come, we'll love it, you know, even more, because you know, it's going to be your blood every other show. I know I feel like I'm kind of skipping all over it, but I just was highly entertained tonight. Like I said before, the Dynamite format, and let me just say, the Dynamite format was easy to watch. Like, now I can start to see AEW kind of progress a little bit more with the storylines that they're trying to produce. They had matches, but like I said, and on top of that, they had segments. So it was like, okay, there you go. You know, and now I think AEW needs to go a little further with the format with the show and leave us with those, like, you know, like how Nitro used to go off the air back in the day, or Raw used to go off the air, and then we, like, you know, leave us wanting more. Because, like, right now they just do it where it ends with, you know, just a win and, hey, no, like, leave us with these cliffhangers on what's going to happen next, and, you know, update us on Rampage and then go right to Dynamite, you know, on Wednesdays. Like, but end the show with, like, oh my God, we'll see you next week, you know, because Nitro, you was famous for that. Like, you know, Sting come out the Raptors, whipped NWO, and then people were still fighting, and then they just run off the air. And it was just like, oh my God, what are you going off the air for? What are you going off the air for? You know, so, you know, I think AEW might just really go that route, because, you know, WWE, it's like their format is too predictable. And I think AEW is about to go into that stratosphere of they want unpredictability on their show, and I think that's where they're going to go at. You know, especially considering everything that they've gotten. Adam Cole was on the mic, like I said, guy's perfect on the mic. I don't know if he's going to actually stay with the Elite. I don't know if this is a plan, because like I said before, the way Adam Cole left the company was like a top guy holding championships and vying for championships. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that I really believe in my heart that he's going to probably screw over the Elite sooner or later. We just got to see that, because like I said before, it's like, I can't see him just, you know, playing tag along while Kenny Omega is the champ. Like, I can see it only if it's like, okay, this guy's a dick, because he, you know, like, come on now. Like, he can't be just, you know, following this guy and playing pity pat and, you know, all the other bullshit while Kenny Omega is holding the title. You know, I like, Adam Cole was kind of like, you know, built as this guy that, like, he wants to be the number one guy. And on top of that, I think even before he got the WWE, I think the All Elite, or I don't even think they call him All Elite, or was it a Bullet Club or whatever the hell, they turned on him. So it's going to be a story still being told on that. So I'm not sold on him just sticking around with the Elite the entire time. It's going to be a story told with that. I feel like I can start to see the, you know, what I was saying, blueprints of stories being told. But it's like, you got to, like I said, in the annals of wrestling, you just got to follow them. So when I hear people on the damn shows, you know, talking about, you know, oh my God, he went to the Elite, it's going to make sense in due time. But you got to, like, as long as AEWs know what they're doing with it, because I can, if I'm seeing what I'm seeing right now, he's not going to stay with the Elite very long. He's going to wind up screwing over Kenny Omega or some shit like that. It's got to be. So, excuse me. But yeah, you know, Daniel Bryan came out, you know, felt like old school back and forth wrestling. Like, for once in a long time, where you don't have these, you know, and even with SmackDown, like I said, I could watch SmackDown, but even with SmackDown, it's like, oh my God, how many contract signings can they get? Right now, it just seemed like, and people can hate on Kenny Omega, and I know I don't necessarily hate on the guy, I just never really believed in him, but I really believe that the level of competition heightened, so I think he's going to get even better. But it just felt like two people just going back and forth. You know, I'm better than you, boom, boom, boom. And that's what wrestling is really all about. And then you can add in the storylines here and there, because you already know the storyline is pretty much Daniel Bryan and Kenny Omega, who's the best. But then on top of that, you got CM Punk in the damn roster. And then you got Adam Cole on the fucking roster. So it's like, you got levels of talent there that can be like, okay, yeah, we can really do some things with a lot of this shit. You know, it felt like two people just going back and forth. Who's better than who? Like I said, I think this week coming up on SmackDown, we're having another contract signing. I think this is probably like the third contract signing that WWE has produced on SmackDown in at least 5 weeks. I think we had three contract signings in 5 weeks. And you know what? I believe I'm right, because what we had, a contract signing between what, John Cena and Roman Reigns and Finn Balor like 5 weeks ago before SummerSlam, or was it five or six, whatever. And then I think a week or 2 weeks after that, you had a contract signing between Sasha and Bianca, even though the match never happened. And now we're about to have another contract signing, I think this week, with Bianca and Becky Lynch. It's like, how many contract signings can we get? Didn't they have a contract signing between Cesaro and Roman Reigns? I don't know. It's like, how many contract signings can you get? Like, WWE is running out of ideas. Like, you can have ideas for these guys, for these people. They just don't, it just seems like they, like, what people are just go numb to the fact that their only thing is contract signing, contract signing, contract signing. I'm sick of contract signings. Like, I feel like contract signings should only be, like done, you know. And then I think they had contract signing on NXT, like, a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know if it was contract signing or what, but it was like, I think it was because it was like moderated by William Regal, but WWE just goes to the old contract signings, and like, I feel like contract signings should be only saved for like, I don't know, like, not saying that none of these matches are big matches, but it's like, you know, it's the only tried and true thing to do for them now. So we'll see how everything goes with the fucking contract signing on Friday. I think what they're trying to do is make me tune out of SmackDown on purpose. It's like, yeah, you know, he could tune out of SmackDown, folks, because he's talking about he's loving SmackDown more than Raw. You know, but they're not doing nothing on Raw either. So it's more like, what the fuck? I think they even had a contract signing on Raw a couple of weeks ago. What was it, between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, like, months ago? I think, you know, it's just the only thing that they know how to do now. It's like, that's the only format. It's like, they ask Vince, well, what are we going to do this week? I'm like, I don't know. Contract signing. Dude, is that all the fuck you know? You can't just have, you just can't have the match set in stone. You know what I'm saying? Just have somebody say, this is what we're going to do. We don't have to necessarily sign a fucking contract all the fucking time. We don't have to have this damn stupid ass table with the black cloth on it in the middle of the ring, and they just take a stupid ass pen and sign the contract. That's all they fucking know how to do. And I bet you in a few more weeks, around Survivor Series time or whatever, whenever they had Brock Lesnar ready to battle Roman Reigns, that's all they're gonna fucking do. They're not gonna even try to do anything else. We're just gonna contract signing. And as of right now, I don't even think I've seen AEW even, like, as much as I said, you know, AEW need to get more better with the damn, you know, storylines. I have not seen them really do contract signings, and if they did, I've missed it. And then right now, they about to be really creative with it. Now, if they do, let's say, a contract signing between Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan, they can go straight, you know, okay, this is probably one of the biggest matches we thought we'd never see, so we need to get this contract signed and on the dotted line, and they should have Tony Khan or somebody oversee the damn proceedings and all that other stuff. That's different. And then they can make the thing, like, as big as it possibly can be. They can even probably do a weigh-in, because AEW is trying to make it, you know, make AEW's legit as possible, like, do shit like that, because, you know, nobody in their wildest dreams ever thought we would have seen a Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson in a professional wrestling ring in, you know, 2021. If he was the ex last year, nobody never would have thought they would see some shit like this. So, I wouldn't mind AEW doing it because they don't necessarily normally do contract signings like that. But WWE runs contract signings into the ground. That's all they know. It's the tried and true. You know? So, you know. And I mean, and you would think that WWE would go back to like some old things that they used to do, before, not necessarily having to do a contract sign, but they could do like sit downs. Like how Stone Cold and The Rock did a sit down at WrestleMania 17. These motherfuckers actually did like they sat down and they talked about, you know, I need to beat you and I'm better than you. And yeah, so it all depends. Like I said, it all really depends on how they want to really do this shit. So, but I loved AEW tonight. Like I said, I didn't want to get too much into WWE. Like I said, I'm just giving my creative juices flowing on pretty much what they can do to build up Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan even more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, right now, Kenny Omega pretty much is the best. Especially since, you know, especially when Daniel Bryan had a career-ending injury and pretty much he was on the shelf and Kenny Omega was in New Japan Pro Wrestling giving us, like, what, eight A1 matches? And CM Punk wasn't even wrestling at the time. And, like I said, Kenny Omega was the guy giving us, like, the A1 matches. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of match they give these guys. I'm all for an Iron Man match. Like, these shows already run long, so why not let these guys give us the Bret, Shawn, you know, Iron Man? I'm a advocate for these Iron Man matches. I don't think we had one in like so long. I don't even think we had one in like a long ass time. I know they was the last one. I guess it was if I'm thinking correctly, fucking, what was it, TakeOver? Was it 2016? Was it Sasha and Bayley? But it was like half an hour. It wasn't an hour. The one last time we actually had an actual like Iron Man match between two wrestlers that can just, you know, go in the ring and just deliver in the ring. People say, somebody would probably say John Cena and Randy Orton, but I'm like, no. Because, you know, that was like if we being honest, like when I'm a person that looks at it, like if I'm watching an Iron Man match, I'm looking at just like pure wrestling. You know, I did enjoy the Kurt Angle Brock Lesnar one. That's when Brock Lesnar was actually wrestling in the ring, not just doing suplex cities. But if I'm looking at Iron Man matches, I'm just like, okay, this is where I'm gonna just sit down and I want to see like some technical, a little bit of brawling, you know, not too many high spots, but just like a lot of technical, just pure wrestling. And I think those guys, Kenny Omega and, you know, Daniel Bryan can pull it off, because Daniel Bryan is not a spot fest guy, but even though he can jump off of the top rope and do crazy shit, but it won't be bang, bang, bang. It won't be like a stunt match. It'll just be he'll do that stuff, but it's got to make sense. Because he's a guy that actually wrestles with a pace to it. I think a lot of stuff for the AEW side is going to change, but it's going to change for the better. You don't have to, you know, we can still get the spot fest matches, but not all the time. Like I said, you know, gotta have pace with these matches. You just don't have to bang, bang, bang all the time. It's, you know, like a lot of people get injured with the dang on spot fest shit. You know, sometimes you just gotta tone it down, pace yourself. We already know you guys can kick ass. But I wonder what kind of match they would give these guys. I'm really an advocate for like the Iron Man match, just because it's like, okay, you know, because AEW can really build it up as, we don't know if we'll ever see this again. Because whoever loses, you know, we don't know when the next time these guys can get a title shot. Submission match, maybe. I love those too. I'm a real fan of the Ultimate Submission matches. I'm like a fan of like Iron Man matches, submission, Ultimate Submission matches where you gotta, you know, you know, it's like, I think what Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle had that awesome submission match at, what was it, Backlash 2001? I haven't seen that match in a while. You know, 2 out of 3 falls, and just regular 2 out of 3 falls matches. I'm a fan of those. Doesn't necessarily have to be 3 stages of hell, but we can definitely get, like, you know, just a regular 2 out of 3. I'm just a fan of those, some, like, a lot of times, because it's like, okay, regular-ass wrestling match. I love the gimmick matches, but it's got to make sense to give us the gimmick matches. Like Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, their feud builded up so much that the last match they had to have was, you know, 2 out of 3, or, you know, the 3 stages of hell with the gimmick, you know, with the gimmicks mixed in with it. Like, you get a regular pure wrestling match, and then you get a cage and a brawl. You know, those, it's got to make sense with the story, but you're doing Kenny Omega versus Daniel Bryan for probably the first time. If they wrestled before way back when, you know, I'll have to check on that. But far as like, if they haven't, but far as like major, because I'm not an indie guy, I'm not really, I'll follow, and I only follow indie when like, or like, it's like I used to, but I don't know more because it's like, now we got AEW. It's like, how do I, you know, I'm just no fucking purpose. And WWE for the past couple of years pretty much like killed the indie scene a little bit. So, just a little bit. But, you know, fuzz, like you got to build it up as, okay, it's the first time. So they just get a regular-ass match. But it could be a special regular-ass match, 2 out of 3. You know, because right now they're building it as, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. Well, let's see how really better you are than me, because we're talking about 2 pure wrestlers. Probably 2 guys pretty much cut from the same cloth, if they can even use that. So, it's going to be awesome to see that match for the first time. I'm guessing we're going to get CM Punk versus Hobbs. I'm guessing CM Punk probably really wanted to work with the guy. Probably wanted to help him, you know, get a little bit more better in the ring, because I kind of like him anyway. And I was kind of surprised, because I don't know. I was thinking that they was going to go MJF versus CM Punk. I figured, you know, MJF was going to come out pissed off. He didn't do nothing to Jericho, which I think Jericho was probably taking a long break. But kind of figure, you know, they was going to go that route, just because it's like, okay, you get these 2 motherfuckers to just go back and forth. You know, like, you got the way CM Punk is psychologically tear you down with his words, because CM Punk is a psychological guy, but it's like he dropped the pipe bombs, but it's like in a psychological way, but people know what the fuck it is, especially if you're a CM Punk fan like me. So it's like every time he says some shit that like really digs in your skin, you're like, oh. And then you got MJF that just don't give any fucks what he says out of his mouth on the mic. You know, he don't have to be psychological. His persona is, I don't give a fuck. And I thought they was kind of going to go, I really feel like they're going to go that route soon. Only because them 2 guys going back and forth on the mic around could be just like some epic stuff. Because CM Punk is, because you can still be, it's like, is right now CM Punk is a babyface and MJF is the biggest heel in the business. So that'd just be like a battle of war of words, like each and every week. Like, you might get MJF to come out and say some real fucked up shit to CM Punk. And then CM Punk, you know, just comes out a week later, or he probably just come back out and say some shit. Like, because, you know, we've seen CM Punk tear down people. I would love to see him just go back and forth with somebody that can really be on his level on the microphone. Just going back and forth. That would be some epic shit. because people are like, well, he went back and forth with Triple H. Yeah, but Triple H is not on the level of CM Punk when it comes to the microphone. You know, Triple H can just say some things because he can be a dick, but CM Punk is the type of person where he's like, I don't back down from Triple H the bully, so he can say what he wants because he don't give a fuck. Well, he didn't give a fuck, so what MJF is like, you know, that'll just be some epic back and forth, in my opinion, but we're not going to get there yet. Like I said, they don't have to blow their load on everything right now. I'm really curious to see what they do with Adam Cole. We don't got a clear cut thing of what they're going to do with him right now. I mean, personally, I think they're going to break him away from the Elite sooner rather than later, but we'll see. Like I said, I could be wrong. You know, I could be absolutely positively wrong about that. I'm just here to just, you know, be fantasy booker for AEW. And I would say WWE, but shit. You can't fantasy book Vince. So all you can do is fantasy book AEW right now because they don't really, you know, they're starting to get their legs under them real nice and tight. I don't know what they're going to do with this Moxley stuff. He beat, I'm going to say what's his name, Suzuki, or I keep forgetting his whole name. And because I thought they brought him in to do like this long lasting feud, but they just have him, he beat him clean. So it's like, what else do you do with this? You know, I thought they was going to go the other route where the guy might have just low blowed Moxley or cheated to win or some underhanded shit because he was in his own town, but they went away where he just got pinned clean. So it was like, okay, are we done with that? You know, Britt Baker pretty much making statements on Ruby Riott tonight. Jumped the shit out of her. So, well, we can already see how they trying to do that going forward, you know, because, you know, Britt Baker is like one of the best heels in the business, too, when it comes to the women's side. So they just keep letting her do that, and they're fine, you know, and let Ruby Riott, like I said, or Ruby Soho. I got to get used to saying that, you know. Didn't hear from her on the microphone tonight, though. Would have loved to hear from her on the mic, but I guess we'll probably get that even on Rampage or next week. It's pretty much it for Dynamite. I ain't had a really lot to get into because, like I said, I loved the show. There's nothing I didn't hate. I did miss the Dark Order match. It was like at the end, something must have happened. I came back from the bathroom. I seen Tully Blanchard, you know, pretty much going at Sting. I think he wants Spears to fight Darby Allin next week. So we'll see what all this stuff goes next week. Because like I said, the next coming weeks, AEW is about to roll on the momentum. And like I said, we got rumors that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will not be, they don't want to renew their contracts, you know. So we'll see how true that stuff is in the next following weeks. But other than that, that's the end of the wrestling portion of the show. Like I said, these shows will get longer and better in due time because, like I said, I got football to get into. As a matter of fact, I'm about to get into that in the next segment. All right. Okay, so let's dominate these football games real quick. It's first week, so I ain't gonna have to talk a little too much because I haven't seen anybody play. And no, I do not count preseason at all. Okay, so let's just keep all of that in mind because I can actually speak on everything when I watch. I want to say every game, but I'm only watch the games that I can. And like I said, everybody already knows when it comes to my team, I'll definitely be watching mine more than anybody's. But like I said, I always will make my way to watch definitely the highlights and look at stats and everything. And I'm not going to be a statistic guy over here, but I'm going to just look at pretty much, you know, the main stats as far as like you know, the scores are pretty much tell a dag on, you know, story. Because I could go through that and I could just be like, okay, you know, this defense ain't doing too good, or this defense pretty much sucked ass, or a defense struggled against this offense, or this offense couldn't, you know, run the ball, throw the ball, you know, vice versa. And I'll be looking at all the highlights on the games that I couldn't watch. But pretty much the games that I can pretty much give you each and every week, for as like me saying I can watch them fully, is either my games. If it'll be mostly like the 1 o'clock games. So if it's like, okay, let's say if my team plays 1 o'clock, then I'll be watching my team. Now, if my team playing on a Sunday or a Monday, which is pretty much this week coming up, then I can watch whatever game they give me at 1 o'clock, which will more likely be the, I'll say the Washington football team, because, you know, they're at 1 o'clock and it's the local team. And then at 4:30, they'll give me pretty much the America's game of the week, which will more likely probably be the Browns and the Chiefs this week coming in. That'd be a good game to watch. And then I get the Sunday nighter, which will be, I can watch all the Bears and the Rams. And then at Monday, I can tell you about my Ravens and Raiders. So that's pretty much how it's going to go. It, like I said, it depends on the local. But like I said, I'll be watching highlights of all the games that I can't take watch. And I can watch all of the Thursday games too. So, you know, because that'd just be local for every fucking body. Like, well, it's national for everybody. I don't want to say local for everybody. It's going to be national. So that's pretty much how it's going to go. Now I do have this thing where I can watch any game on my computer. So if I do get any 1 o'clock games that's going to suck, let's say, for instance, I get Texans and Jaguars, for instance, and that's the only game that they give me, then I'm going to go on my laptop and I'm going to watch an actual game that's going to be way better than that at the 1 o'clock hour. I mean, at the 1 o'clock time slot. So, you know, I'm not going to waste my time with that, but I will go over every team. It is just, I'd rather watch their highlights than, you know, waste my time with a Texans, let's say Texans versus Jets or some shit like that. Like, I'm not going to waste my time with that. So that's just not even happening, you know. So right now, I'm not going to do score predictions either, but I'll pretty much give you the rundown to what I'll probably say. I'll give you the rundown to what I will be looking for in all these games pretty much this week and pretty much this whole weekend. I'll probably just go over what I think I'll see in these games. Probably what people will be looking for, something like that. Like, I'll just, like, you know, try to, you know, make it a little longer, not just to guess, like, oh, this team is going to beat this team. I'm probably just get into some soliloquies, like, right here, tomorrow, right? We get the Super Bowl champs opener. You know, we're going to get to see the banner, the rings, Tom Brady, the GOAT. We'll get all that stuff, but all in all, we're going to get Cowboys versus the Buccaneers. Everybody, every show that I watched, think that the Cowboys are going to get a straight-up beatdown. If this was week, I'll say, 9 or 10, I would probably say yes, especially me seeing what had probably transpired and everything. And then, let's say, if the Cowboys looked how they looked last year, as far as their defense go and no Dak, then I would say, yeah, they're going to get murdered. But this is week one. Ain't nobody really knows what everybody looked like. And people are like, oh, come on. But the Bucs, they just won a championship and they got all their players back from the Super Bowl and this and that and this and that. And I think a lot of people just writing the Cowboys off. I'm not saying that I think they're going to win, but I'm going to just say that I think that this game is going to be closer than what we think. I do think that they're going to lose. Now, I am picking the Bucs to win. I just don't think that they're going to do a straight-up beatdown. And I could be wrong, but that's just personally me. I mean, the last time we seen people say, I've seen people say the Cowboys was going to get murdered. This was like 3 years ago. I think they played the Saints in an infamous Thursday night game. And the Saints was on a roll. Like, they was probably, I think they were the number one the number one offense, and I think the Cowboys were struggling. And the Cowboys put on a defensive clinic, and I think it was like a nice, tight, close game, but the Saints lost, and the Cowboys won. Now, I don't think the Cowboys are necessarily going to win this game, but I don't think that they're going to get beat down like everybody think they are. So I do think the Bucs will win this game. Then we roll with the Seahawks and the Colts. Now, with this one, I think the Seahawks will win because the Colts got too many injuries. I don't think Carson Wentz is playing. I think the top center is hurt. And then their defense has to go up against Russell Wilson. And their defense might be good, but you can't contain Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson is not going to get some touchdowns in a game. But I don't think that the offense will be able to produce with a Russell Wilson. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, they have to, like, the offense will have to complement the defense. Like, the defense can't, they're not going to shut out. They can't hope to say, oh, we're not going to let the Seahawks score, because they're going to score, you know. So, I think the Seahawks will win that game. Jaguars, Titans, I think the Jaguars will win. Like I said before, I do think the Texans are a dumpster fire, but like I said, I think this is week one. It's a rivalry game. Trevor Lawrence is a rookie, but I do think the Jaguars will win, but I think Trevor Lawrence will struggle in this game, though. Eagles versus the Falcons. It's a hard one to pick because both teams not looking too hot already, in my opinion. Like, these are two teams, let's be honest, they, like, in the past, I'm going to say, what, 4 or 5 years, both of these teams actually played in a Super Bowl, and one is one. And it just seemed like both teams took a dive after their damn Super Bowl appearances. And the teams look totally different. The only thing that's the same is Matt Ryan for the Falcons, but everything about the Eagles is pretty much totally different. I'll pick the Falcons only because I think the Falcons will still have a potent offense, and I think Kyle Pitts will just come out guns a-blazing and be real nice for Matt Ryan. I think he'll give Matt Ryan a good security blanket, considering that they don't have Julio Jones anymore. So, you know, I think that's how that will go. Chargers versus Washington. This one's going to be a good game. I'm actually looking forward to watching this one at 1 o'clock. I don't have nothing else to watch at 1 o'clock anyway, but I think this one is going to be real good. We're going to get we get to see Justin Herbert in year two, and I think this year he's going to take that extra leap. I think he might be even a candidate for the MVP conversation this year. Just saying. I mean, you know, we always pick the reliable people, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes. You know, even some people picking Lamar Jackson to even have a way better season than last year, which is, if he have a better season than last year, it's going to be MVP level. But I think Justin Herbert is going to be in that conversation. He's going to be in year two. We have seen some year two guys win MVP recently, and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I think Justin Herbert, he has weapons. I think the Chargers is, like, you know, can only get better. They have a young gunslinging quarterback. So I don't really want to know. But then again, like I said, then you look at the other side, the Washington football team. The defense might be one of the top three defenses in the league this year. They have Fitzpatrick, who's probably not afraid to throw the ball. So this one, I think, going to be back and forth. I'm going to go with the Washington football team only because I'm going to just go with the emotion of the home crowd, and that home crowd finally can cheer for that team actually being great after they had to really pretty much deal with the fact that, you know, the whole franchise pretty much struggled for like years. So, you know, I'm going to go off for the emotion factor, but I think it's going to be like a real close one. I think this game, the Chargers and Washington football team, going to be one of the great games this weekend. So, like, it's going to be one of them games where it's like a tug of war. It might come down to last play or something. Steelers versus the Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills. I mean, I'm not going to say that because I'm a Ravens fan, but I'm gonna just go with the Bills because I think the Bills know they one of those teams. They know who they are right now. They pretty much got the same team like last year. They added Emmanuel Sanders, and it's gonna be at the Bills Stadium. The Steelers, I think they might struggle early. I don't, you know, with as the offensive line goes, I don't think they really answered the questions to it. But like I said, I think this one's gonna be another close one because the Steelers are not an easy team to beat. But I think the Bills will win. You know, I'm not gonna say I'll be surprised if the Steelers win. That's one of them games where I'm like, I'm just gonna give you an answer. But like I said, it could go either way. But I'm gonna just say I really just think the Bills is because I think the Bills are like really trying to run neck and neck with Kansas City right now. I don't think Kansas City is going to be like the clear cut runaway team to just take the AFC this year. I just don't. I think they got people that's like teams that's gunning for them. The 49ers and the Lions, I think the 49ers going to win. I think the Lions, they still need to upgrade. Jared Goff is not the answer. They don't have Matthew Stafford no more. Galladay is gone. I don't think their defense is all that great. I think their coach is not a great coach that they hired. And the Lions need a whole culture change. I think, to be honest with you, I think this team needs to consider really not saying just lose on purpose, but, you know, they need a quarterback. Like, they need a culture change, like how the Jaguars are trying to do. Like, just it's not – and the 49ers are too strong, like I said. 49ers was hurt last year. They're going to be – one of them NFC teams that's trying to get to the Super Bowl. So that's what that is. Vikings and Bills, Bengals. I think the Bengals will win. I think Joe Burrow is the truth. I think, you know, the Vikings, you know, they're not terrible, but they're going to be one of those teams where they can compete, but they're not going to be a playoff team either. But I think the Bengals will win because I think this is Joe Burrow's coming out party. I believe he might be one of those guys that be in the conversation for league MVP if he doesn't get hurt, because he was fine last year before he got hurt. Okay, so that's how I'm looking at all that with the Bengals and the Vikings. Let's go a little down further. The Jets versus the Panthers. I think the Panthers will win. I think the Sam Darnold is in a better situation. The Jets didn't pretty much answer all their needs. I think they only got a quarterback, but like I said before, the team, I think, is still pretty much the same. But I do believe in the coach, Robert Saleh. But I think the Panthers have already was changing things since last year with Matt Rhule coming in and everything. And now they got Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey is back. And I think that Sam Darnold is going to be in a situation where, okay, now I can do what I do. The Cardinals versus the Titans. One of the other great games of this weekend that I'm scared to pick, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals. And the only reason why I'm going to go with the Cardinals, because people will probably say, well, how the hell are you not going to pick the Titans? They got Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, and they got Derrick Henry. Yeah, but on the other side, you got Kyler Murray that can run out that can run. They got, you know, James Conner, who, like I said, my team played against him a lot of times when he's with the Steelers, and he's a competent running back. He's not the greatest, but with the skills that Kyler Murray can do, you got to watch out for him in the backfield. And, oh, by the way, you got a top wide receiver in D-Hop, and you got A.J. Green. So this game won't be a, you know, tug of war too. It's not going to be just Titans. I don't even think the Titans are going to win. I think the Cardinals will win, but I think it's going to be close. Browns or Chiefs? I'm going to pick the Chiefs, but I think the Browns – because I really wanted to pick the Browns only because I think the people counting the Browns out. And I know it's probably like, oh, my God, you're just picking these guys because they're your rivals. I just picked the Bengals to win against the Vikings. I could have sworn I just did that. I just think the Chiefs are going to win only because it's hard to play in Chiefs Kingdom. that's number one. Number two, you got to – it's too many – I just feel like – like I said, I think the Browns is like one of the perfect teams to go up against the Chiefs. But I think that it will be one of them games where the Browns will go to the playoffs, folks. Let me be very, very clear with that. The Browns will go to the playoffs. I think it's one of those games where it might come down to like last play and then Patrick Mahomes will come with the heroics. But I think it's going to be one of those where it's like, okay, well, we'll meet you back in the playoffs. And I really think the Browns can beat them in the playoffs. But right now, I think the Chiefs, they're going to come out hot. Patrick Mahomes is going to come out hot. Tyreek Hill too fast for the secondary. I don't know. It's just that it's hard for me not to go with the Chiefs in week one. And Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes together, they are undefeated in September so far. So, Patriots and Dolphins, I'm going to go with the Patriots. I seen the way Mac Jones was playing. He's a safe quarterback. I believe in Bill Belichick. I believe they'll make the playoffs. I want to pick Dolphins, but Tua is the only question mark. But I think it'll be close because it is a rival game. I'm going to go with the Patriots, though. Broncos, Giants, I'm going to go with the Broncos. Only because I do not believe in the Giants right now. The only thing they got going for them is Saquon Barkley. Packers and Saints, Packers will win. The only reason why I say that is because it's Aaron Rodgers, man. And you don't have Drew Brees no more for the Saints, so you don't have a guy that can go blow for blow, toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. Not saying Jameis Winston can't. And then the Saints are not even in their actual stadium because of Hurricane Ida. You know, they're going to be playing at Jacksonville. So, I don't know. I'm just going to pick Aaron Rodgers. I don't never pick against Aaron Rodgers. Rams and Bears, I'm going to go with the Rams. I think Andy Dalton going to get his block knocked off against that defense. Because their O-line I don't think is good either. And I think Matthew Stafford is going to have a coming out party with his new team. And they're at home at SoFi Stadium. And SoFi Stadium is going to be electric, you know, fan. It's going to be electric fans day. It's going to probably be hotter than ever because this is the first time SoFi Stadium can be actually sold out. So I'm going with the Rams. And obviously Ravens, Raiders, I'm going to go with my team only because it's my team, obviously. And like I said, we've been hit with injuries, but like I said, I think, you know, we've been known to, okay, even though we have some hiccups with injuries here and there, especially in the Lamar Jackson era, we always have an answer for stuff. And, you know, I don't think the Raiders defense can really mess with the speed of a Lamar, which means that I throw them off kilter and that'll leave a lot of receivers open or, you know, lanes open for Lamar. So I'm gonna just go with my team. That's my picks for your week one NFL. I won't talk about any NFL I'll talk about the Cowboys and Bucks probably on Friday. Or maybe I'll talk about it after the game tomorrow night. So I'll probably just talk about the game tomorrow night after it goes on. It depends. If I don't, I'll do it Friday morning. Because I was looking at it like, okay, well, yeah, let me not just – because, I mean, everybody going to talk about it anyway. So I'll just get into it and everything probably Friday in the afternoon, put it to you like that. Because I'll be watching ESPN and all that other stuff because it'll be other stuff that I would have to talk about besides just the game and what happened in the game. Maybe somebody got hurt in the game and I got some information off of it the next morning, you know. So got to get all that stuff done and get my notes ready because now I'm going to have to start taking down notes because I'll have to take down stat notes, which is going to irritate me because I hate writing down notes. I don't have to do it for wrestling because it's no stats to keep up with wrestling, you know. It's just, did you see the match? I might have to just look on my phone for stuff and be like, oh, okay, well, that was a hell of a good match. You know, maybe special moment happened or something here and there, but there's no stats to keep with wrestling. With football, it's a lot that goes into it. You know, QBRs and stuff and interceptions I have to write down. I can pull it up in my phone, which I'll probably more likely do instead of just writing down stats, but I'll probably more likely do it that way. You know, so like I said before, oh yeah, I forget. I said I was going to do my Super Bowl picks, and I was going to do my, I'll do my Rookie of the Year and MVP picks before I do the Super Bowl picks. So me personally, my MVP this year, I think it'll be Aaron Rodgers again. I think a pissed off Aaron Rodgers is a better Aaron Rodgers. More than anything, he was pissed off last year, and look what he did. They picked a quarterback under him, and he threw that football like he was a madman. The Packers organization still treating him like shit. They come back. He wasn't going to come back. He's back now, but he's still pissed off. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers for league MVP. Rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Mac Jones, only because I think he's in a way better situation than Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields ain't starting. I don't think he might not start till like week 6, 7, or 8 or something like that, which means he won't be, you know, playing long enough to be looked at as Rookie of the Year. But I'm going to look more at I was beating in my head between either Kyle Pitts or Mac Jones, but I'm going to just go more with Mac Jones only because I feel like he's going to be probably like not the only rookie, but probably the only offensive rookie that's been drafted, as far as like the top guys out of your what, Zach Wilson's and your, you know, Justin Fields and Kyle Pitts and, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's in the best position to make playoffs too. And he can make and Bill Belichick is going to only put his quarterback in the best position. So I'm gonna just pick Mac Jones just because of that alone. Bill Belichick putting him in a good position. Like, Bill Belichick wouldn't even be doing this if he didn't know. Super Bowl picks. NFC, I'm going with the Buccaneers. I think they're going to be too much. I was going to go with the Packers. That's my heart and soul. I think it's going to be a rematch in the NFC Championship game, though. I think it's going to be Packers. It's going to come down to Packers and Bucks. I really wanted to pick the Packers because I really want to see Aaron Rodgers win another Super Bowl. Because last year, my whole pick all year was Packers and Chiefs. And that's really, like, just because I want that. That's like a dream Super Bowl because I just feel like them two crazy asses is going to throw the football all over the place. But I'm going to get Packers and Chiefs either way this week, this year. I think it's week 9 or 10. I would love to see that in the Super Bowl, though. But I'm going to go with the Bucks and the NFC. I think they're going to have a rematch with the Bucks. Super Bowl for the AFC. The bias is about to come out in me. Okay. I'm not going to regret picking this because this is the bias. I didn't pick them last year, but I'm going to pick them this year. I believe my team, the Ravens, are going to go. And then people probably be like, are you fucking crazy? I believe it. I believe that they will. I do believe we'll have a slow start. I think we'll win week 1, but then I think we'll lose in week 2. But I think all in all, when we do, you know, by the second half and the schedule wanes on everybody and we got that running game going, I think we'll, you know, get everything afloat. I think I just think that it's Lamar Jackson's time. He's got that playoff hump over his belt. I think that we'll probably, you know, like I said, I'm not doing division picks because, like I said, our division is too damn strong regardless. Like, we still got Steelers and Browns. I just think my team is going to go, and I think it's going to be Bucks and Ravens, and I feel like my team is going to win the Super Bowl. That's my belief, though, okay? And you got to understand where the belief comes from because since we've gotten this guy, Lamar Jackson, we've been in the playoffs, we're getting a step closer. I think we're going to go a big step closer this year, and I think we're going to go to the Super Bowl, and I think we're going to win it. And that's just my belief. And I think, you know, and I want that to be the belief, but just because a lot of people I see count my team out, and it's like, I like it like that. I like my chances when people don't really pick my team, except for me. But that's it. I'm going Bucks, Ravens, and I think the Ravens going to win. I don't do scores or nothing like that, but that's just me. I think it's going to be Bucks and the Ravens, and I think the Ravens going to win. If you do like the show, You can definitely listen to me on anchor.fm, or you can listen to me on the Anchor app, or you can listen to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Radio Public, and you know the rest of them pretty much. Like I said, next week, get prepared because I will be doing Podbean. So, like I said, I'm going to just give you guys chances to switch over. When I get everything set up, I will put up a show on here letting everybody know where to go on Podbean to listen to the show, because I will set everything up next week. All next week, I'll be just getting prepared. That way, by the end of next week, I'll probably do it Friday. I'll do a big old, I might just start off with a live stream show, just live on the show, so that way people can come in and probably ask questions and all this other stuff. And then I'll be getting my, and then that'll be around the time that I can get the, what Thursday game comes on. Ooh, that'll be a good one. Now I can talk about the Giants and the Washington football team, and then more football news. And on top of that, we'll have AEW Rampage, and we'll have SmackDown to talk about. So, but it just depends on the segment at the time. So, all you NFL fans, be ready. And all you wrestling fans, be ready. We'll talk about everything. And like I said, that week two will be a blast of a show, because we look like we got some good games that week. And I'll be definitely doing a show that Sunday night, because my Ravens play the Chiefs at home, and I will be either on here being happy or crying. No, I'll probably wait till like the next morning, because I might really do cry. Okay, so, and then I'll do the whole, you know, pre-Packers-Lions game. That's going to be week two, though, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Because, like I said before, I still got some stuff I'm going to do next week. Next week, I'm going to set up the Podbean stuff so that way I can let everybody know Thursday I'll do a little mini show. It'll probably be only like 5 minutes just to let you know where to go on Podbean and everything, because I'm going to switch over. But other than that, folks, I'm out. Everybody stay safe, stay blessed. And I will be back Friday night. I'm out.